Daf Mem. Rav says that if someone said, take a piece of bread after he already said hamotzi, but he hasn't eaten the bread, and he said, take this bread, then he doesn't have to say a bracha again. But if he already said hamotzi and has not eaten the bread, and he said, bring salt or a dip, then he would have to say a bracha of hamotzi again. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, saying bring salt or dip, you don't have to say a bracha again. But if you said, go feed the animals, then you would have to say a bracha again. Rabbi Sheisha says, no, even if you say go feed the animals, you don't have to say another bracha. Why? Because we know from Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav, that you're not allowed to eat before you have fed your animals, because the pasuk says that you should feed your animals, and only then it says you should eat. So this is a need for the meal, and therefore it's connected. Rabbi Bar Shmuel says that you can't say a bracha on your bread until everyone has either salt or dip. Rabbi Bar Shmuel went to the house of the Reish Galusa, who was the head of the Galus, and the Rabbi Bar Shmuel didn't wait for salt or dip, and the Reish Galusa said, why didn't you do that? And he said, because this bread is already so flavorful, so you don't need to wait. Rabbi Bar Shmuel says that your bladder doesn't empty unless you're sitting. Rav Kahana says, or if you urinate onto a soft ground, or if you stand on top of a high place where it's sloping down, like hilling down, because you're not going to be scared of the drops bouncing back onto your legs or your feet. Rabbi Bar Shmuel says that you should eat salt after whatever you eat, and you should drink water after whatever you drink, so that you won't be harmed by the food that you ate. Because a brisa says that if you didn't do this by eating the salt after the food or water after you drink, if this was during the day, you should be concerned that you'll have bad breath. Apparently that was a really bad thing back in the day. And if you did it at night, then you should be concerned about diphtheria. There's a brisa that says that you should drink a flask of water per loaf of bread, and therefore you won't have per loaf of bread that you eat, and you won't have any intestinal illnesses. Rabbi Yochanan says that if you eat lentils once every 30 days, you won't have diphtheria, but if you eat it every day, then that's bad, because it's going to be bad for bad breath. Rabbi Yochanan says if you eat mustard every 30 days, one in every 30 days, then you won't have any illness, but every day would be bad because you subject yourself to being likely to have faintness of heart. Rav says that if you eat small fish, you won't have any intestinal illnesses. It's good for fertility, and overall it will make you healthier. Reb Chama Bar Chanina says that ketzach, which is fennel, is good for having no heart pains. But Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel questions this, because we said that ketzach is one of the 60 deadly poisons. So we answered, no, the smell is a deadly poison, but eating is healthy. That's why Rabbi Yirmiyah's mother would bake him bread, and she would stick on the ketzach for the taste, but then she would peel off the ketzach before she gave it to him, so there'd be no dangerous smell. Rabbi Yehuda had said in our Mishnah that you say borei minei deshaim on vegetables, you say creates the species of herbs. Rav Zera says that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. And what's Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning? Because the pasuk says, Baruch Hashem yom yom. We should bless Hashem day by day. So what? This is saying we only bless Hashem by day and not by night? So he answered that this is what Rabbi Yehuda is saying, that just like on Shabbos and Yontiv, you need to have specific brachos relating to that day, so too, by brachos, you have to have specific brachos relating to every species. Rav Zera says that Hashem is not like us, because humans, we can fill an empty vessel, but we can't fill a vessel that's full. However, for Hashem, if there's a person who's filled with Torah, he's filled to the top with Torah, he can hold even more spirituality. However, a person who's empty of Torah can't hold more spirituality. And we get that from the pasuk of Im Shamora Tishma. If you listen, then you'll listen again. However, if you don't listen, meaning about Torah, then you won't listen again. And we can also explain that as if you review the old stuff that you learned, then you will be able to listen to the new. If you don't review the old stuff you learned, then you won't listen to the new. The Mishnah says that we say Adama on fruit of the tree. If you say Adama on fruit that grows from the tree, that's Yotzei. If you say ha'etz, though, on food that grows from the ground, that would not be a good bracha, and you could say shahakol on anything. The Gemara says, who is the opinion in our Mishnah who holds that the fundamental source of fruits on the tree is the land? Because that's why he holds that if you say adama on fruits, which technically he's saying they come from the land, so that's why it's a good bracha. So if Nachum Yitzchak says it's Rabbi Yehuda, because we have a Mishnah that says, when you're bringing Bikurim, which are the first fruits that you bring to the Kohen, if the stream that dried up that was watering your tree or the tree was cut down, then you bring the Bikurim, but you don't say the whole passage about Bikurim, because you can't thank Hashem for the land that he gave him. However, Yehuda says you should still say the passage. Why? Because he holds that the land is the primary producer of the fruit, and the land is still there. So it doesn't matter that the stream and the tree are gone, the land is still there, and the land is the most important part. So the Mishnah said that you can't say ha'etz on things that grow from the ground. But that's so obvious. Obviously, you can't say that. Rav Nachman Yitzchak answers that this is needed to exclude the opinion of Rav Yehuda, who says that wheat is considered a tree. Because the Brisa says, what type of tree was the Eitz Hadas that Adam and Chava ate from? Rav Meir says it was a grapevine because wine is the biggest cause of bad things. Rav Nechemia says it was figs because just like they were brought down by the figs, so too they used it to fix their situation by using it to create clothes. Rav Yehuda says it was wheat because a child can't say his first words until he tastes grain. So you might have thought that wheat is considered fruit of the tree, and therefore you'd say ha'etz. But it is teaching that ha'etz is only on something that you can pull fruit off, and the branch will stay, and the branch can then produce more fruit. However, this is not like wheat, because once you pull out a wheat stalk, it's not going to produce more wheat, and therefore you say ha'adama. So the Mishnah said you could say a shahakul on anything. Rav Huna says this is except for bread or wine. Rav Yochanan says you can even say a shahakul on bread or wine. So is this the same machlokas as another machlokas that we see in the Braisa, where Rav Meir said that someone that ate, that was going to eat bread, and he said the bread, this bread is so great, blessed is its creator, then that's a good bracha to say before the bread. And so too you can also do that for figs, for all foods. Rav Yossi says, no, you wouldn't be yotze because you're not saying the regular bracha that the Chachamim instituted. So Rav Huna, who says that you can't say a shahakol on bread and wine, seems to be the same as Rav Yossi, who says that you can't change the brachos that were instituted. Rav Yochanan, who says that you can say shahakol would seem on bread and wine, would seem to be like Rav Meir, who says that you can deviate from the brachos. And Rav Huna actually says, I can even be going like Rav Meir. Rav Meir only allows you to say this bracha when you specify what food. You said, thank you Hashem for this bread. However, here you're just saying a general shahakol and you're not specifying the food. Rabbi Yochanan says, I can also be going even like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi only says that it's not a good bracha here because it's not a bracha that the Chachamim instituted, that the rabbis instituted. However, here they instituted a shahakol and Rabbi Yossi would allow a shahakol, which is a bracha that was instituted. So Binyamin ate bread and then afterwards he said, blessed is the master of this bread. Rav said, oh, that's great. That's your yotze for benching. But Rav himself says that any bracha without Hashem's name is not a bracha. So Rav answers, yeah, he said Hashem's name. He said, like, blessed Hashem, the master of bread. But we also know that you need three brachos for benching. And Rav is saying, yeah, he was just yotzei for the first bracha. He still has to say the other two brachos. Okay, well, if that's the case, then what's Rav teaching us? If you want to say that he's teaching that you're yotzei even if it wasn't in Hebrew, well, we already have a Mishnah that says that you could say benching in any language. So again, Rav's not teaching us anything new. So Rav is actually teaching us that you might have thought that you're allowed to say any language when you use the exact same words as the Chachamim instituted. Rav is teaching that even in this case, where he said it in a different language, not using the same words that the rabbis instituted, that you would still be good. Rav says, quoting what we had said before, that any bracha without Hashem's name is not a bracha. That's according to Rav. Rav Yochanan says, no, you need to say Melech HaOlam. Abaya says, Rav's opinion makes a lot more sense because we have a brisa where it quotes a pasuk of I haven't transgressed any commandments, meaning by not saying brachos. And the next part of the pasuk says I haven't forgotten you, meaning to say your name, and to say your name in brachos. So Abaye says that it only says to say your name in brachos. It doesn't say that you have to say Melech HaOlam. It only says like Rav that you have to say Hashem's name. Rabbi Yochanan, who says you have to say Melech HaOlam, would answer, no, you have to read it as saying, I haven't forgotten to mention your name or say Melech HaOlam, that you need both. Next Mishnah says that Shahakol is on things that don't grow from the ground, on vinegar, on novellos, which we'll get into later, on vinegar, novellos, and locusts are Shahakol. Rabbi Yehuda says any food which has had something bad happen to it, you would not say a bracha on it. Fine, so going back to Rav Yehuda says that if you have many different foods, sorry, still in the Mishnah, if you have many different foods in front of you, Rav Yehuda says you say a bracha on anything that's from the Shiva Minim, and the Rabbanan say you say a bracha on your favorite fruit. So Gemara brings in a brisa, which is talking about all these foods that you say shahakol on, meat, eggs, milk, things like that. And it says, on foods that don't grow from the ground, you say a shahakol, like mushrooms and truffles. So we asked, what do you mean mushrooms and truffles? Those do grow from the ground. Why are you saying those don't grow from the ground?
Because we know that there's a braisa that says if you took a vow not to eat anything that grows from the ground, then you're not allowed to eat mushrooms and truffles. So Bai answers, yeah, they grow from the ground, but they don't get their nutrients directly from the ground. They get them more from the air. But the braisa that we quoted before had said things that don't grow from the ground. So how do you understand that? Mushrooms and truffles still grow from the ground. So we answer, no, you should read it as they don't absorb their nutrients from the ground. So now talking about what those novellos are, Rav Yehuda says that you don't make a bracha on bad foods, right? So according to the opinion that says that novellos are sun-scorched dates, and that makes sense why you wouldn't say a bracha on them, because that's a bad thing. However, according to the opinion that novellos are dates that have just been blown around by the wind, then why don't you say a bracha? So we answer, that opinion would say, no, when Rav Yehuda said you don't say a bracha on bad foods, he was talking about the vinegar on the locust, not the novellos. Okay, so another question. So it makes sense that the sun-scorched dates would be shahakol because something bad happened to them, but the wind-blown, where they were just blown away, why would you say a shahakol on them? They should just be the normal bracha. So we answered that really everyone agrees that novellos is sun-scorched dates. However, they disagree when novellos is modified and it's novellos tamara, where the novellos of dates. Right, Rabbi Zera and Rabbi Lai, one says that it's sun-scorched dates, and one says that it's wind-blown dates. But they both agree by just novellos that that is regular sun-scorched dates. However, we have a Mishnah that says that we're lenient with truma for novellos tamara. So this makes sense according to the opinion that says we're talking about sun-scorched dates, because the reason we're lenient is when you bought it from an ignorant person, and therefore you'd have to take truma. That we're lenient that you don't have to take truma when you bought it from an ignorant person. We don't make you take truma. However, you would have to take truma when you bought it from a person that you know definitely did not take truma. So if you're sure that they didn't take truma, you have to take truma on these sun-scorched dates. But if you're not sure, then we're going to be lenient. But according to the opinion that says it's wind-blown dates, then there's no owner on these. So obviously there's no such thing as a case where you're definitely sure that they didn't take truma. That doesn't exist because they're not owned by anyone. So we answered, no, the buyer put them in a pile. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that when you gather these foods into a pile, you would be chayav to take truma on them. So now we ask another question. So by the novellos tamara, if you're going to say, according to the wind blown, if you're going to say novellos truma tamara is wind blown dates, then that's why we have both the different names of novellos regular, which is sun scorched, and novellos tamara, which is the wind blown. So that makes sense. But according to the one that says both are sun scorched, then why do we have two different names for the same thing? And we answer that that's akasha shkayach.